The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There is a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in the like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. So we have a pop quiz today that is given without judgment, okay? So how many of you were in church last week? All right, how many of you were in church 2 weeks ago? How many of you were in church 3 weeks ago? How many of you were in church 4 weeks ago? We're doing good. This is good. Okay, so the reason I ask this is because in our gospel readings, Jesus has been on a tear. I mean, a serious tear in our gospel readings for at least the past month, and really more for the past 2 months. And we all know the Gospel of Luke has a special focus on wealth and poverty, the poor, the wicked. Not wicked, the widowed. He cares about the wicked too. But really, it's about poverty, poor, and the widowed. And so for weeks now, on Sunday morning, Jesus has been laying it out straight. Do not build bigger barns. Share what you have. Sell your possessions and give all the proceeds to the poor. Heal some people while you're at it. Do not sit at the good seats in the wedding. Where I was just seated recently. You are not that important. And by the way, invite all the poorest people around you to the party that you're going to throw. Don't build something so grand you can't finish it. Look for the one lost sheep or the one lost coin, even though you have plenty of others. And by the way, repent while you are looking for the lost one. Be creative in how you deal with dishonesty. And make sure you take care of others while you're being dishonest. So, all of that, are you hearing a theme? Luke has a theme. And today we get to the end of this group of parables we've been hearing. And he finishes up with this very visual, in case you missed all of the others, I'm going to make it really clear in this one story. We have a rich man. And he has a purple robe, and he has a huge gate around his magnificent house, and he has highfalutin pets, probably dogs, who he feeds the scraps of his table from. Hopefully not chocolate. And then you have Lazarus at the gate, his bones sticking out, and his skin with that ashy color that's covered in sores, which at least the dogs lick, which clean him up a little bit. But Lazarus eventually dies from hunger or from one of the diseases that comes from flat-out starvation. And with these two people described, you will suddenly notice who gets named here. And we should remember, I think you all know from my sermons by now, names in the Bible matter. So who's important? Lazarus. He got the name. Who's important in Luke's world and God's world in the Gospel of Luke? The poor, the needy, and those in need of help. And who is not important? And let me be clear, not loved. Everybody's loved. Everybody's in. But who is less important? The rich man. And why? Because he cannot or will not see the starving person right before his eyes. This rich man who turns a blind eye to human need sitting at his very doorstep is the one who Jesus calls out today. And that man or that human being, more often than not, is me and is you. Now, for those of you online, if you ever read Next Door, or any Next Door readers here, yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. It is an online community for people in your neighborhood, and people will comment on everything. And then there are certain themes you'll see. Or if you are on Facebook and you go to city Facebook pages, you will see, or community groups, the same thing. And I can tell you, there is nothing that can send me into a rage like those who complain about the homeless or people without a home who are sleeping in Hermosa. End of the world as we know it. And I always read them, and Rachel, do not respond to the trolls. Do not respond to the trolls. But I always look at these in a rage and I go, well, where are they supposed to sleep? Where are they supposed to sleep other than where my neighbors aren't going to see them, which is not in my backyard, in my neighborhood? And I know half of this congregation just said they can go to a shelter. So I just want you to imagine walking out of your house with your wallet and your bank account. Be sure you have all your bank account papers. And you walk outside of your house, and you cannot use your car, and you now have to figure out transportation to a shelter. How many of you actually know where a local county shelter is? A few of you, good. And you have to find a shelter, and I want you to get to the shelter without your car, and then get there in time to be admitted if they aren't full. By the way, please leave your wallet and bank papers sitting outside while you're getting your good night's sleep. So before we give the easy answer to go find a shelter, I think we need to understand what it is we are asking another human being to do. In our society, we put up benches with armrests on them so people cannot sleep. In San Francisco this week, I read that apparently boulders have been put up along the sidewalks in some places to deter people sleeping by homes. And I don't throw these out to make any of us feel guilty, because I do believe we all sincerely want to find a solution for the reasons behind homelessness. But we get caught between fear, which causes us not to do something, And then we get caught between that and not knowing what the right thing to do is. And then we have the third part, that we're only willing to give or compromise so much or so far to help someone else, which is good to have boundaries. And it's important that we keep safe. But fear often prevents us from engaging at all and addressing the deep needs of another human being. Can be scary. And the truth is, we are not always going to have the right answer, and a right answer one day may not be the right answer the next. Do I give money or don't I give money to the person at the off-ramp? Do I allow people to sleep on the church steps or in our parking lot, or do I call the police? Do I give a dollar to everyone at the off-ramp who is asking for that, or Hawthorne and Artesia is, I think, the other hot spot right now? Or do I give $20? Or am I willing to give my spare $100 I keep in my wallet for emergencies and give it without worrying what they're going to do about it? Or do I just, is that enabling and so I shouldn't do anything at all? But I would challenge myself and I would challenge you that whatever choice we make, the first step is to see the humanity, to see the God-createdness of the person who is in need. That people who do not have a home, people who are forced into thinking their best option is to stand on a street corner and ask, are people with names. They're people who have a story. They're people who had families and may still have families who care about them and want them to be okay. And in today's gospel, Jesus calls us out fair and square to look at what we are doing. The rich man, realizes the error of his ways, and I do kind of find his solution interesting. Not let me go back and feed all of the people who need it. No, let me go back and warn my brothers so they don't end up in hell like me. Let me go warn those who I love most so they don't have my fate. And wise Father Abraham replies with the fact that his brothers know the same scripture he did. His brothers get to make the same choices and adhere to what the scriptures say to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. His brothers have to take responsibility for their own choices, just as we have to be responsible, and not just responsible, but accountable for ours. And so it's easy to be paralyzed by our fear. What do we do? Why do you think we're dreaming right now? 50 years ago, because of youth, not adults sleeping on the beach, because that would be challenging. But 50 years ago, our congregation saw you sleeping on the beach, and we started a shelter because we knew we had to do something. And currently, we feed the homeless once a month, we work with homeless families on a quarterly basis, and we do laundry once a month for those in need. And so I have three reflections for what we could do to engage on a deeper level. If you see someone and they ask you for help, look them in the eyes. Ask them their name. And regardless of what you have to offer, you can offer a smile. You can offer the courtesy of acknowledging they are a human being worthy of your time. As one of our heads of laundry love said to me, when he sees the posts on Nextdoor, he tells them about how he always has water and bananas and a laundry love flyer in his car. So he doesn't give money, but he can give water, and he can give a piece of food, and he can give some hope that they can have clean clothes at the end of the month. But I'll tell you, my experience at Laundry Love, and the leaders know this, I show up at Laundry Love, I've been going for years now, and I am the worst with names. It's why I love you all to wear name tags. I'm visual, and if I don't see it, I don't remember it. I just don't. Wear your name tags, please. And so I'll go up and I'll be like, hey, Jim, that's Mike, right? And that's Tom, and that's Quinn. Like, you know, I do this because to go up to a person and to say, hey, how's it going this month? And to use their name, Mike or Tom or Queenie or Susan. You know, and they know I can't do more for them. They know that I'm not going to be able to give them a meal other than pizza that night. I'm not going to be able to give them money to tide them over till the check comes in. But they know that I know their name with the help of others, and that they can get clean laundry, and that I will listen to their story, even if it's the same one I heard last month. I'm willing to see their humanness by the gift of time. And that doesn't make me a great person. It's just a discipline. It's hard to do that. Martin Luther, that would be the German, not the American. So the original Martin Luther said that you can't feed every beggar, but you can feed the one on your doorstep. And so we might want to ask ourselves, I ask myself, how can I start to do that? And I don't mean just food, because the homeless in Hermosa can wake up, I'm not kidding you, with 5 or 6 takeout containers around them. So are we willing to offer a piece of clothing? Are we willing to say, oh, you need to get somewhere? Here, let me call an Uber or a Lyft for you if you don't feel safe taking them in your car. Or here, let me refill your bus pass. I think we can begin to ask ourselves, what can we do for the Lazarus in front of us? Are we going to Target later in the day and can pick up shoes? Or, as I recently heard from an Uber driver, undergarments, because it's cheaper to buy new ones every month than to wash them. What can we do for the Lazaruses that we encounter every single day of our lives if we walk out our front door? And then the last is perhaps the most challenging, and where we get overwhelmed and we just give a dollar and say, I've done what I can do. But my last one is, what are we going to do to look at the systemic issues of poverty? Why are people homeless? And there is no one reason. It's not just mental illness or poor education or spousal abuse or joblessness. What are we going to do about the systemic issues is one of the hardest questions for us to face. And yet, as Christians, it's what Jesus tells us we need to be looking at. Because we can give and give, and we need to. But Jesus is calling us to ask, what can we change? What are we willing to give up, even, of our own comfort, so that others can have access to what we have access to? And this question is harder. And one place to start to take on this challenge, I offer you the book Toxic Charity. It's a starting place. And it challenges the reader's view to charity as we know it and asks us to consider basic justice principles of economic growth. Jesus' parable for us today is indeed a difficult one. It hurts. It makes us a little bit scared, maybe defensive. But most of all, it challenges us. It challenges us and calls us to stop and look and take account, not just for our humanity, but for everyone else. Because you and I, just like the brothers of the rich man, we have all the law and the prophets and Jesus. You and I also know to do justice, to seek mercy, to walk humbly with God. And so how do we put that into action as individuals and as a church community? How do we dream together to make this world different? And as we do so, how can we see and name and know and serve God's beloved children, those just like Lazarus who are in our midst? Amen.